This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Hello and welcome. My name is Matt Fisher, and I'm the Project Coordinator for the Project on Global Water Policy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. This podcast is part of the Project on Global Water Policy's interview series. Today, we are joined by Dr. Kala Vairavamurthy, Executive Director of the Patel School of Global Sustainability at the University of South Florida. Dr. Vairavamurthy is an internationally recognized expert on urban water issues who has worked to create clean and sustainable water and sanitation systems through programs for UNESCO and the European Union. Thank you for joining us. Before we discuss your recent work, I would like to ask, what inspired you to get involved in researching water and sanitation issues, and why are these issues important to you?
Hi, Matt, and thanks for the invitation to talk to you today. Well, first of all, water is in my family. So my father, my sister, my brother, and several of my uncles, they all work in the water sector. And also, having been born in a developing country myself, you get to know very clearly the struggle to get water in, and also the impacts of poor sanitation. You understand and appreciate, you know, the difficulties that people go through to get water. And I myself have suffered from various waterborne infections, such as typhoid. So what really surprised me was this clear link between access to water supply and sanitation and health. And, you know, the shocking statistics that we always hear really disturbed me. You know, half the population in developing countries suffer from a water-related disease at any one time. A child dies every 15 seconds from a preventable waterborne disease. And, you know, the cost of all this ill health in terms of deaths and disability-adjusted life years is enormous. I've heard it's about $100 billion per year. And it's obvious that to do something about this is going to be a lot cheaper. So water was always at the forefront of my life, and it inspired me to study public health engineering and a PhD that looked at water scarcity in developing countries. And I've been very fortunate to have traveled extensively in Asia and Africa and seen at first hand the struggle to collect water each day and the impacts of poor sanitation, but it's also given me the opportunity to do something about it.
That's a very interesting personal connection to the issue. Now, could you please provide an overview of your recent work on the cities of the future? Where are these cities? What are the water and sanitation challenges they face? And how will those challenges impact the supply and demand for water and sanitation services?
Okay, so a lot of the work that we've been doing has been focusing on urban areas, and it's been focusing on developing country cities. We all know that over the next 40 years, we're almost adding sort of a million people a week to cities, and most of those cities are in the developing world. Africa is urbanizing at a rate of about 3.5%. 80% of Asia is still not built, so it's going through rapid urbanization as well. And so these urban spaces, you know, have a lot of these regional global change pressures, such as climate change, tearing infrastructure, and it's going to mean that these urban spaces are going to have difficulties in efficiently managing scarcer and less reliable water resources. So we need to find ways of catering for more people with less, you know, doing more with less. So we've been working in the area of mainly integrated urban water management, looking at systems that are more resilient to global change, looking at, you know, how we can use water and reuse water more intelligently, looking at the greater application of natural systems to treat water and to treat wastewater, and also looking at some of the governance and financial structures needed to manage our systems more sustainably. So I've been working in several projects. One of the projects that I was involved in was called SWITCH, which was a European-funded project. It was the largest water project funded in the European Union under Framework 6, and it finished about 7 months ago. I was very lucky to be the scientific director of this project. And it was a major project with 32 partners. We had 12 cities around the world. They included developing country cities like Accra, Alexandria, Lima, Cali. We had cities in Europe, Hamburg, Wich, Zaragoza. And we had cities in Asia, Beijing and Chongqing. And what SWITCH tried to do was it really tried to look at innovative ways of managing water in 20 to 30 years' time. And key to the project was to work with stakeholders on the ground and to understand what issues they faced and what their needs were for these future water systems, and then to make the research address that. So we developed a lot of innovations in Switch, particularly in the area of integrated urban water modeling, low-impact development options, natural systems for water and wastewater treatment, and we built demonstrations. And you can find a lot of information about the Switch project on the Switch website. The other program that I've been involved in is the IWA, the International Water Association's Cities of the Future program, that again is looking at water security issues for future cities. And the phase one of the program was really looking about knowledge creation. And we looked at integrated treatment technology systems, smart networks. We looked at urban and spatial planning, and also looking at frameworks to promote concepts like water neutrality. Phase two is more nationally focused, and we're focusing on specific countries. Particularly, we're looking at Turkey, China, and Brazil. And we're looking at how some of these innovations can be implemented. Finally, we've been working with the World Bank, looking at emerging villages and towns in Africa. And it's in these emerging villages and towns that there's really an opportunity to do things differently, to set them on a completely different path in terms of the way they manage their water system. So we've been working in Nairobi, in Kenya, and then in Mbale and Arua in Uganda, and then in Douala in Cameroon. And what we're trying to do, particularly in the smaller towns, so particularly in Mbale and Arua, is to look at how can their urban water systems be different? How can we integrate resource management, particularly water, into their urban form and their urban plan? And we're convinced that we can do things much more efficiently and utilize some of the new technologies that are being promoted, particularly for water reuse and recycling, and implement them in a developing country context.
Based on your research, have you found that municipalities in the developed world face similar challenges? If so, what lessons can policymakers in the United States and other developed nations draw from these emerging cities?
Well, the answer is yes. Municipalities in the developed world do face similar challenges. And, you know, what was interesting in the Switch project was that what we were finding was that developing countries are already having to deal with crisis situations, you know, water scarcity, poor sanitation. And there was a sense that some of the developed countries might face some of those issues in the future, particularly with global change, you know, with urbanization and climate change. So these developing countries have already learned ways in how to deal with some of these crises. And some of those lessons we found were very useful for developed countries. I think also the developing country space is where really these emerging villages will become towns and become cities. And it will be there where all the new ideas in terms of urban water management will be demonstrated and implemented. And proof of concept will come from these developing countries, particularly in terms of reuse, recycling, technologies that allow nutrient recovery and energy production. And I feel that it's these emerging villages and towns in developing countries that will create the imperative for change in the existing cities in the developed world. The developed world will see how these innovations can make them much more competitive and more resilient, particularly in the area of urban water management, and hence will make the change after seeing it being done in the developing countries.
So, moving forward, how can the U.S. government, international organizations, and non-governmental organizations assist emerging cities with their water and sanitation challenges?
One thing I think is important is to place greater emphasis on emerging villages and towns. Currently, a lot of the focus is on large cities, which do have big problems, but the opportunities of doing things innovatively in those big cities is limited. So I would like to see some of these larger organizations and NGOs and the US government trying to support development in these emerging villages. But the opportunity to do things differently is very small. So we need to get in at a very early stage of the development process to implement these new solutions, because it will be a lot harder much later down the line. I think also another thing that the US government and international organizations should promote is to promote greater demonstration projects. We need good demonstration projects to show that things can be done differently. And again, in these emerging areas, there is this opportunity to really demonstrate these innovations and the way in which water can be managed more efficiently. And it moves us away from it being just a pipe dream to being a reality. And then we can obviously mainstream these approaches. I think also specifically for the US, Congress should revise and authorize the Water for the World Act with extensions that consider design solutions that include issues around ecosystem services and includes issues around frameworks for integrated water management. You know, such things as closing the loop with water, nutrients and energy resource recovery, etc. And I think the Water for the World Act should somehow capture some of these ideas.
Where can our listeners find out more about your work?
I would encourage them to go to our website, the Patel School of Global Sustainability website, which is psgs.usf.edu. And also they can find information about SWITCH from the SWITCH website, which is switchurbanwater.eu. On the Patel School website, they can also find more information about the International Water Association Cities of the Future work.
Thank you again for agreeing to speak with us.
Thanks very much, Matt. I really enjoyed this.